I will never forget Father's Day 2024. My children have always been good about coming up with Father's Day gifts, and typically I get a nice shirt to wear, or in the recent years I've gotten t-shirts with on the pocket is something I say around the home, and those I typically don't wear out in public because of what they decided to put on that pocket. But 2024 was different, and it was a total surprise. That year, my girls got me a new bike. But not just any bike. This is a bike that actually fits me. It's nice and high and tall, and I was shocked, to say the least, and told them it is by far the best Father's Day gift I have ever received. For years, every September, my wife Ruth would do a two-day bike trek that was sponsored by the Churches of God Church Camp in Newville, Pennsylvania. The weekend would involve 2 days of tent camping and usually 50 to 55 miles of biking over the 2 days. And she would go every year with her friend down the street, and they had a wonderful time with us. She raved about it. Well, about 6 years ago now, she talked me into doing the bike trek with her. So I borrowed a bike from my brother. I didn't have a bike at that time, and decided, well, she can do this year after year. Certainly I can do this. Well, on the first day of the bike trek, on that Saturday, we biked 25 miles. We were just a few miles into that first day of biking, and I thought I was going to die. I really did. I did absolutely no preparation for this bike trek. No training of any kind, it basically level biking for 25 miles, 30 miles a day. I thought, how hard can that be? Well, it was brutal. Let me tell you, after the first day, every part of my body was aching. And then I realized I had another day to go, another day of biking, another 20 to 25 miles. And that night I prayed, Lord, please, please help me finish. Help me endure to the end. The next day, Ruth got up, and she couldn't bike that day because her hip was hurting too much. And so I was going to have to do it now on my own. And all I remember about that second day was constantly telling myself, you can do this, you can do this, hang in there, you're going to finish, don't give up, as I counted down the miles to the end. When I got to the pickup place, I virtually fell off the bike. But somehow, despite pain in every part of my body, I endured. I completed the bike trek. Today we're looking at the enduring heart of Jesus. And throughout his life, Jesus could have bailed at any time. He could have refused to go to Jerusalem. He could have said, you know what, I'm not going to go to the cross and die for the sins of humanity. But he didn't. He endured to the end. He had an enduring heart. And you know, that pretty well reminds me that we too need to have an enduring heart. Because let's face it, friends, we are so quick to give up. When things start going hard, we're so quick to say, you know what, I don't need any more of this. And we see that in every aspect of our lives. Our text today is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, a story that really comes very early in Jesus' ministry. And it's a glimpse, sort of a glimpse of his enduring heart as our Savior. Matthew chapter 4 is our text, verses 1 through 11, for a message entitled, An Enduring Heart. Hear now the word of God. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest place of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the angels left him. And then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Have you ever really thought about the evil things that were done to Jesus? When you think of times when Jesus could have given up, how about this time of temptation? You and I know what it's like to endure temptation for a moment, or maybe an hour, or maybe even a day. But Jesus endured temptation for 40 days. This is what Jesus faced. 40 days of temptation. Luke chapter 4, 1 and 2 says, The Spirit led Jesus into the desert where the devil tempted Jesus for 40 days. We often think of this story and think of, well, Jesus was out in the desert for 40 days and he was tempted by Satan 3 times. He was tempted many times, day after day. Not just 3 times, often, frequently, unrelenting, nonstop, moment after moment. One thing is pretty clear, the devil tempted Jesus. He was tested, he was tempted to change sides, he was tempted to go home, he was tempted to take care of himself and forget about the Father, forget about his beloved creation. When I was dying on the bike track, I was tempted to quit. I was tempted to quit. But my temptation to quit lasted a few hours. Jesus was tempted to quit for 40 days. Think about that. But he didn't. Why? He had an enduring heart. He had an enduring heart. How is it that Jesus had such an enduring heart, but for me, whenever anything gets difficult, I want to give up? The answer, of course, is that Jesus had that amazing enduring heart. The first key to having an enduring heart, just like Jesus, is to have an abiding relationship with God. We need to have an abiding relationship with God. When we think of this story of Jesus being tempted out in the wilderness, the text tells us that Jesus was alone for 40 days. He really wasn't. He was communing with the Father. The Spirit had led him out there, and he was communing with the Father. He wasn't alone. He had that abiding relationship with the Father. Jesus was so close to the Father that he would tell the disciples, You see me? You see the Father. That's how close they were. That's an abiding relationship. And I think that's what Jesus had in mind when he told his disciples, I am the vine and you are the branches. You need to abide in me. Jesus drew incredible strength to endure from his relationship with the Father. On day one of my first bike trek, Ruth was biking beside me all the way. And she was there to encourage me. And together we got through day one. But when she wasn't able to bike the second day, I was on my own. And I can tell you that I did a lot of praying that second day, drawing strength from God to endure to the end. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted all the time by the devil. But he had an abiding relationship with the Father that fueled him, energized him to endure. You know, friends, we can marvel at Jesus' enduring heart. The temptation in the wilderness was just the start of the devil trying to convince Jesus, you know what, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to give your life, shed your blood at Calvary's cross. There's other ways to do that. Here is Jesus, he's tired, he's weak, he's hungry, he's seemingly alone, tempted 3 times, but each time, scriptures record, he responded to the devil. And how did he respond to the devil? With scripture. That leads to our second point today. The key to have an enduring heart is we need to know God's sustaining word. We need to have scripture upon our heart, upon our minds. We need to draw strength and encouragement from God's word. Jesus knew the word of God and he knew how to use the word of God. And for you and I to have an enduring heart just like Jesus, we need to be a people of the word. You know, I learned that about 10% of what Jesus said in the Gospels, about 10% of what Jesus said in the Gospels involves quotes from the Old Testament or allusions or stories from the Old Testament. 10%. That's how well he knew the Old Testament. And this is long before the Old Testament is the Old Testament. Jesus knew the Scriptures, and he knew the best way to defeat temptation is the Word of God. How blessed we are to have the Word of God to stand against the temptations of the devil. There's a noted Bible scholar by the name of James M. Gray, and he told a story that underscores the importance of reading Scriptures and having Scripture upon our hearts and mind. He said that when he was a young Bible teacher, he became deeply impressed by the peace and spiritual poise of a friend about whom he often talked. Since Gray wanted that same stability in his life, he asked his friend the secret of his confident bearing and positive outlook. And his friend replied, it all started by reading through Ephesians. And Gray was surprised by this simple response. He had read Ephesians many times, but he never experienced the same strength that he saw in his friend. And noticing Gray's puzzled look, the friend explained, on one occasion when I was on a short vacation, I took a pocket edition of Ephesians with me. Laying down one afternoon, I read all 6 chapters. My interest was so aroused that I read the entire epistle again. In fact, I did not finally lay it down until I had gone through it some 15 times. He then said, when I arose to go into the house, I was in possession of Ephesians. Or better yet, it was in possession of me. I had the feeling that I had been lifted up to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, a feeling that was new to me. Well, this friend's testimony so encouraged Gray that he decided he was going to master the Scriptures for himself, and he began to saturate his mind and his heart with God's Word so that he could freely and effectively communicate God's truth to others. Oh, the power of the Scriptures in our lives. Think of the people who have impacted your life. Maybe it's a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, or maybe it's a youth group leader, or maybe a father, a mother, a grandmother, a grandfather. Think about their life and their faith. And if you look closely at them, you'll probably see a love for the Word of God. I still remember visiting Amos Cunningham faithfully. Did that man love the Word of God? My goodness, he loved the Word of God. And he impacted so many people here because of his love for the Word of God and his teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God was in his heart and it shined through. And you want to have an adoring heart like Jesus, you need the Word of God written upon your heart. How was Jesus able to endure the temptation of the devil? By his abiding relationship with the Father, by his knowledge of the Word of God. And lastly, by focusing on his purpose for coming to earth. That's the third key to having an enduring heart, that we need to keep our focus on our purpose. What is our purpose? One of the temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness was to quit, to abandon his purpose for coming to earth. The devil said to Jesus to consider all the kingdoms of the world, all their splendor. The devil said, Jesus, they are yours. They are all yours if you bow down and worship me. Forget about the cross. Forget about humanity. Forget about all those other things. Shift your focus to me, the devil said. And this could all be yours. But the enduring heart of Jesus prevailed. Away from me, Satan, he said. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Here is Jesus, despite being weak, tired, hungry, in the desert for 40 days, tempted over and over again. Here he is, one more temptation, and Jesus, because of that abiding relationship, because of that knowledge of the Word of God, because of that focus on his purpose, said, no, Satan, away from me. I'm going to worship the Lord our God. He knew his purpose, and his heart endured because he remained focused on his purpose. Jesus was able to keep a heavenly focus while living on an earthly life, and oh, if we could do the same. Oh, if we could simply do the same. How quickly we lose our focus. How quickly we are distracted. How often we forget eternity with Jesus and live below the clouds focused on the moment before us. But not Jesus. Boy, he endured with a pit bull determination and focus that enabled him to endure so much hatred. And yet he faithfully fulfilled his purpose. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the enduring heart of Jesus, perfectly fulfilling his purpose. From the moment of his birth in Bethlehem to his death at Calvary, Jesus' heart endured. He was faithful to his purpose of seeking and saving the lost. Seeking and saving you and me. 1 year after my initial bike trek with Ruth, we decided to try it again. But this time was different. This time I knew what to expect. This time I prepared beforehand by riding 10 miles and then 15 miles and then 20 miles. This time I bought the proper gear with biking shorts and gloves and those kinds of things. I was focused. And while it was still challenging, the second year was far more enjoyable than the first. And now I have a new bike, which I love. So guess what Ruth and I and Molly are going to do come next September? We're going to do the bike trek together one more time. You know, friends, temptation didn't stop Jesus. Critics and skeptics falsely accusing him didn't stop him. His own family thought he was a lunatic. His neighbors, the people he grew up with, tried to push him off a cliff. His own disciples would desert him when he needed him the most. The disciple closest to him would deny he ever knew Jesus. And one of his disciples would betray him for the price of a slave. And yet his enduring heart prevailed. Jesus never abandoned his purpose for coming. Temptation didn't deter him. Accusations didn't stop him. Shame didn't dishearten him. As the writer of Hebrews says of Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Let that sink in for a moment. Joy and the cross in the same sentence. We can't put those two words in the same sentence, but Jesus does. Why? It's because of that enduring heart. May we indeed have an enduring heart, just like Jesus. Let me give you three takeaways here quickly from the message today. First of all, to have an enduring heart requires that we have an enriching relationship with Jesus. We have to move beyond simply a head knowledge of Jesus and have a heart knowledge of Jesus that changes us, that changes our values, changes how we live, how we view the world, how we handle resources and time and money and so forth. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Our relationship with Jesus Christ should change everything in our lives. It should change everything about us. Second, we need to stand strong against temptation. Let's face it, friends, the devil is still tempting us every day. And we aren't alone and hungry and out in the desert for 40 days like Jesus was. We need to know that the enemy is working hard to capture our soul. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That is not just you. It may be your spouse. Maybe your children, maybe your grandchildren. We need to stand strong against the devil. Just like he was out to get Jesus, he's out to get you and me as well. Lastly, we need to remember that Jesus was faithful to his purpose and he endured until the end, and so must we. You know, friends, I'm hoping that they will say of me when God calls me home that Kevin was faithful. He was faithful to the end. He was faithful to the end. How we finish our lives speaks volumes about us. The words of Jesus in Matthew 24:13 are powerful. Jesus says, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Just as Jesus remained faithful to the end, so must I. So friends, let me encourage you to put atop of your bucket list the following phrase. I want to remain faithful to Jesus to the end. I want to endure. I want to have an enduring heart. Did you know that the Greeks had a race in the Olympic Games that was quite unique? The winner was not the runner who finished first. It was the runner who finished with his torch still lit. So I want to run all the way with the flame of my torch shining brilliantly for Jesus. An enduring heart. No question that Jesus had an enduring heart. The question is, will we? Will we? Jesus says in Luke 21:19, by standing firm, you will gain life. And that is my prayer for you, is that you would stand firm and you would gain the wonder of life in this world and oh, the promise of life everlasting. Let us live as a people of God who are faithful to the end, who have an enduring heart, just like Jesus. Next week, we're going to wrap up this preaching series. I hope you've enjoyed this challenging series, but next week will be one more sermon in this series. But today, let me challenge you to stand firm. Be faithful to the end. Have an enduring heart, just like Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. May God grant each of us an enduring heart, just like Jesus. To the praise of his glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the example of Jesus, who had a powerful, enduring heart, was able to withstand accusations, false accusations, and temptation, could easily have abandoned his purpose at any moment, and yet was faithful to the end. He endured even to the point of death on the cross. Father, help us to be reminded often of the example of Jesus, to have an abiding relationship with Christ as Savior and Lord, to allow his word to saturate our lives, and to be faithful to our purpose, to live each day, each moment for our Lord Jesus Christ. May we indeed endure just like Jesus, and may we indeed grow to be like him each and every day as we serve him, our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.